I see our guy Dirk, who's brought up a couple of times that Mike Brown wasn't his big thing, accountability. I think one of Mike's weakest points as a head coach is the delivering of his message. Mm. And it appeared at times his message got lost. Yeah. Now, you can blame the players for that. That's perfectly okay. You could say that they weren't being accountable. That's perfectly okay, and there's probably some semblance to truth to that. I think Doug witnessed that a couple of times and tried to get it in order. The problem is, you know, you've got to figure out a way to get everyone on the same page from day one. And the second people start to go to their own page, so to speak, you got to bring them back.
Yes.
And it felt like, what's your boy's album, Too Far Gone? It felt like they had a couple of moments where they were too far gone. Mm-hmm. Until they actually were. Mm-hmm. And that was around Christmas where we started to see some change. And then what did we see immediately? People said, well, it's the high that you get after firing a coach. You had that run with Doug Christie. They kept saying, no, like they look different. Mm-hmm. But maybe it just was that high, because then you started having starters meetings. Then you had,
they got dealt another blow. They were playing well, and then the guy said he wanted to leave.
Well, there's that too.
So yeah. Then they had to deal with that.
Yeah,
there was. I was thinking about this today too, with this team, and not to absolve them of anything, but it's just the reality. They had a lot going on this year.
They did.
They had a lot going on, and even to the point of, and once again, maybe it's justified. Understandable, if we know the whole deal. Like, I get it. I understand. They have people quitting on them left and right. Left and right, people just quitting on them. You know, and De'Aaron, he's got his reasons for doing it. De'Aaron wanted up out of here in the middle of this winning situation. Mm-hmm. I think they had lost some games, so I don't want to call it a win streak. But out of 10 out of 11 wins, he wanted out.
Yeah.
Luke Louts, you know I love Luke Louts as a coach. I believe in him as a coach. I think he's a great coach, and every time I've talked to him, a great human being. But he quit on these guys. He quit. He quit in the middle of what they were doing. He just left these guys. Wes Wilcox, know how you feel? You know how I feel about Wes Wilcox. He quit on these guys. Mm-hmm. These guys just quit in the middle of the year. And hey, I'm taking the job, might not have been when they mentally checked out and quit on these guys.
Right. Yeah,
that,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's and if they, I don't know if maybe they were surprised by all this, but I would think the day Luke took the Florida State job wasn't the first time everybody in that locker room was like, Luke might leave.
Yeah.
They might have known that for a couple weeks.
It wasn't a Luka trade. Right. Like it hit out of nowhere.
They might have known that for a couple weeks. And here this guy is trying to tell them, hey, play this deep. Bro, you're not, what are you
and
trying to leave
you
got
to put in to get a college job. It's tough. And hey, look.
Luke, and salute him. That's a personal decision he made. But it doesn't.
But,
it doesn't
but your
hide,
point.
Yeah.
Your point was the adversity that this team went through. Some of it was self-inflicted. Some of it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It felt like there was a domino effect with Mike. I don't know if Mike Brown is still here, if Luke Louts leaves, but it doesn't matter. He did. Mm-hmm. Then there's the De'Aaron component to this. Then there, I don't know what Doug's relationship was with the remaining coaches here, but Doug was pretty defiant a few times about, I'm the head coach. Mm-hmm. And there were questions about like decisions and things that he was doing. He would hold it. I'm the head coach. I'm the one in charge of all of this. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know what his relationship with those guys were, but I don't know that it was perfect.
Right.
Or even smooth. Mm-hmm. That was Mike Brown's staff. And I don't imagine, especially, of course, Luke left. From everything we've been told, Luke, they were told to fire him. Mm-hmm. Mike was told to fire him. And, no wonder he left. Mm-hmm. I don't know what firing Luke Laux would have done. Or maybe it wasn't Luke. Yeah, it was Luke. It was Luke or Jay Triano, right?
Yep.
I don't know what that would have done. But the fact that you fired Mike instead and just left those two here, essentially leaving Doug to, hey, sorry, pal, figure it out. Yeah, that's tough.
Absolutely.
That's tough.
Absolutely. And once again, not trying to, like, say anything bad about Luke or anything, because I understand his position. I understand Wes Wilcox's position. Of, hey, this thing's falling at the seams.
And it can't get up.
I need to get out of here. You know what I'm saying? I got an opportunity. I'm gone. Like, I understand that. But that doesn't change the fact that that's what happened. You quit on the team. These guys quit on the team while they're in the middle of trying to figure things out, while they're in the middle of trying to win games. Now, if you want to take it all the way back, you could say some of these players quit on Mike. And that's a problem as well. So I just look at that and I was like, man, that was an absolute mess. And I think back, this is the NBA and it's completely different. And this is where I have empathy a little bit for some of these players. And even to the point where after the Washington game, I was like, man, these guys don't look like they want to play with each other anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about it before, but the second year I was at CRC, coach dynamic was crazy. Coaches fighting, not getting along. It was a mess. I like my teammates. Like, I like them as people. I still talk to them to this day. They're cool. Mm-hmm. But there was so much that went on behind the scenes and drama and all this other stuff. I got to before the playoff game, I was like, man, I'm ready for this to be over.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. It's easy for me to sit here and say as a radio host, hey, man, just, you know, play for the team, man. You still got a chance to win. It's easy to say that, but I've been there where it's like, man, I'm just done with this season. Like, I want to press the reset button, or I want to leave or whatever. Like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about this no more.
Mm-hmm. I'm just.
And I get it. It happens. It happens. And it feels like with everything that went on with this group this year, that's where maybe a lot of people got. By the time they got to that play-in game against Dallas. And it could be a situation where, like, if we're close, like, we're going to try and win. But the second something goes wrong, like, I ain't got nothing left. I get it. I understand. I've lived it. I get it.
Let's hear more. This is another great clip from Matt George, Scott Perry, talking today about this team and what their identity should be.
I'm just learning this roster again. I've watched them. From afar, there's some talent here. There's an obvious need. I think everybody in this room probably would agree to it, that there's not a true point guard on the roster. Also, as I assess it from afar, I think we need to add more length and athleticism to this group to enhance some of the talent that's here. So that's from that standpoint, that's kind of what I'm looking at doing. Right now, and the second part of your question was the identity. Any successful pro sports organization, or any company for that matter, has to have an identity. And that's one thing that I don't see here yet, but that's what I'm all about, is establishing an identity. What does it mean to be a Sacramento Kings player? To play here, we're going to require toughness. We want a defensive orientation. We got to play extremely hard. And we got to play together on the offensive end. Share the game is what I like to say. We got to be professional.
I want to hit pause right there. Let Scott finish. Does any of that sound familiar?
No.
Okay. I'm going to let this run. I want everybody to think about, and have you heard anyone associated with the Kings? Is it drop a line like that? I just chuckled because I realized Scott's got a Apple Watch on, and he's got his rings up. So Scott's got to make sure he closes his rings today. So, sometime that Apple Watch shows a little too much about
that's
our
what I'm saying. Well, you can turn it off. Well, not turn it off, but like if you're not looking at it, the screen should be off.
Well, his wrist is turning. That might be why it lit up. But let's let Scott finish. If you can't figure out who we're talking about, we'll tell you. Hang on.
Got to be disciplined. and we got to have accountability. And so if you fit that profile, you'll see guys wearing that Kings jersey. If not, then we'll figure out how to get guys in here that do. And a line that you may hear me say, and you may have heard this before, I'm looking for volunteers to that, not hostages.
Mm. Man, there's a lot there.
This dude's a good talker, boy. He's a good talker. I believe in him. I think he's going to do well as the GM and kind of turn this whole thing around. But I don't know. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
I'm waiting
but
for
I know
Scott
he can
to
talk.
Lead me to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the way he was talking today.
I know this dude. Man. He can spit. This dude be having bar after bar after bar.
Who'd he sound like to you?
To me, it sounded like Doug Christie.
Exactly like Doug Christie. Now, you can read into that whatever you want to. Maybe it's nothing. But if you're talking about being in alignment, which is one of the key things that has to happen with Scott Perry and his front office, he has to be in alignment with Douglas Dale Christie and his coaching staff, mm-hmm. or whoever the coaching staff winds up being. He has to be in alignment with Vivek Ranadive and whoever Vivek's advisors and trusted circle is.
Yeah.
They all have to be in alignment. And if you're just looking for breadcrumbs or you're looking for clues, maybe this is nothing. But we have heard Doug, it feels like, use those same exact words mm-hmm. when it comes to talking about what he wants for this basketball team.
Yeah. And that's why I say their approach and their outlook to the game of basketball and building a team and building a roster, it seems to be in lockstep. That's why one of the reasons why I think Doug will be the coach. But, you know, you just don't know. You know, I agree with how you talked about earlier. I think Doug is the leader. I do believe there's guys that want to talk to him about it. And if they can win him over, maybe they, you know, jump over Doug. But once again, the way that they approach the game of basketball and team building and building a locker room and all this other stuff, it seems to be from the same place,
mm-hmm.
from the same exact place.
Let's welcome back Rob Nacho One.
Oh, well, good.
He's back.
Good, Rob.
We'll highlight his question here. He said, problem is if they keep Doug, does he just keep the leftover coaching staff? Absolutely not. I think
spelling was great on that, too, by the way. Good job, okay. Nacho. Do better.
It's a cold game to boot somebody for spelling wrong.
Well,
but
get. If you can't spell get right, then I need you to go work on your game. I'm going to get Rob Nacho a mirror.
All right. All right, Kenny Perry, relax a little bit. No, Doug absolutely does not keep the, quote, leftover coaching staff. If Doug is named the head coach, mm-hmm. he's given an allotment that allows him to build a coaching staff. Mm-hmm. James mentioned that a couple of days ago, and I think it might have flown over some people's heads where, you know, James, you know, he had a line, and we'll get James in here pretty soon because I think he's just hanging around the building. You give, you know, Doug $4 million and tell him, you know, go build your dream coaching staff. Mm-hmm. That's for the whole staff. Like, assistant coaches probably don't make what you think that they make. That's why you see, I was a little frustrated yesterday watching the Lakers game as I saw Lindsay, and I realized I feel like women in the WNBA have to make a lot of lateral moves. I'm sure working for JJ is probably great. Maybe she would be more comfortable, you know, on JJ's staff, or maybe it was a chance to work with LeBron, which is, you know, just immeasurable. Now, you know, Luka's there and all this, but when she took the job, it's LeBron James, it's Anthony Davis. You know, it's a chance to work with those elite players. I feel like I saw her, like, on the second. I was like, oh, she made a lateral move. And sometimes that happens, I guess, not just with female assistant coaches. I think that happens with assistant coaches, period, is you're trying to find the coach who will really believe in what you're doing and maybe elevate you a little bit further. Or you join a talented coaching staff where you know guys will start to fall off. We joke about it all the time. It's very literally how Joe Mazzulla got the job. They lost they lost Will Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Brad moves to the front office. Ime becomes the head coach, he gets elevated pretty quickly. Ime cuts, and all of a sudden you're looking around like all of our guys left. And, well, we're going to keep some continuity here, and now all of a sudden Joe Mazzulla is an NBA Finals winning coach. Wow. He joined that staff the same year Kara did. Was that 2020? Same year.
Mm-hmm. That kind of sounds like a movie, what happened to Joe Mazzulla.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, like absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It starts with him just watching The Departed. We'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We'll get into the NBA as well and things that we saw last night when dealing with KC. Return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Y'all hoes out here talking about, like, Little Caesars pizza, but complaining about olives.
Olives are gross.
Yeah, give me 10 Little Caesars pizzas.
Olives are not
one
gross.
Olives are no
What's
good.
Wild is there's, like, a lot of different types of olives.
Chris in the chat house says, Jesse a baby for not liking olives. Whatever,
See?
Then.
See?
Olives Fine, I'll be a kid forever.
They're not good. Green or black olives.
They got olives with, like, I didn't know this. Not my bag. I think I need to go pick some up with blue cheese stuffed in them. Then they got ones with, like, garlic stuffed in them.
See, mine, I just stuff in the trash.
You're ridiculous, man.
Max says, Kenny hates peas, avocados, and olives. Crazy.
Well, hating avocados is wild.
Yeah, that's a bad take. Peas are bad too. Crazy. But
avocados
crazy.
Are whack. Those are pretty much the
hating
only foods.
Avocados is crazy.
Those are pretty much the only foods that I don't like. But yeah, I don't like those foods. No, all three of them.
We don't like beans either, right?
All three of those foods can go to hell.
We don't like what?
It's like Casey don't like beans either, right?
Ah, you're right. I do not like frijoles.
You love rice, but it's been known to beat your ass a time or two.
Well, no, I got over that. I don't know what happened there. I've had Chipotle many a time since, and it was just a bad month.
We made a dinner a couple nights ago that had rice in it. I feel like I haven't had rice in a while. Mm. And I think one of the grains of rice was trying to kill me, and I thought, this is the rice that was trying to kill Kenny. It's come for me now. I'm like, it's that thing where you're walking around. Are you okay? Yep.
Slowly panicking because it's not going away.
Just over here trying not to die. That's all. What's wrong? There is a single grain of rice trying to murder me right now.
A terrible way to be taking out the game.
It's terrible.
I don't think there's a good way. But
damn shame what happened to... Well... There are ways you could be more proud of. Oh, no, he died trying to save, kids out of a building. Oh, he jumped in front of an old lady and saved her from getting in from a car. Whatever. No, he died on a grain of rice. Like you.
Lie about how I died.
Like your last words in that is you're grabbing your loved ones and you're dying. Just please don't tell anyone.
Can you imagine you do it at Chipotle too in front of everybody?
Oh, how embarrassing.
Oh, how many phones will be in front of you?
This guy didn't know how to eat his rice.
Yeah. No sympathy. No. You go viral for dying at Chipotle. No sympathy whatsoever. Oh, this idiot choked on a grain of rice.
Then Chipotle Forever has a sign out there, please be careful when eating your rice, and it's because of you.
The crazy thing is it's embarrassing both ways. If you survive, how embarrassing is that? Walking out
You'd
of
rather be put out a little grain of rice.
Walking out of that place like that. Just embarrassing.
God forbid you show up at dinner time too, so the whole room is packed.
What was the movie where the guy, it wasn't a grain of rice, but it was it White Chicks? No, it wasn't White Chicks. It was Mrs. Doubtfire. That's how he got exposed as being the dad. Because he saved the boyfriend from he was choking on. And all the mask and
that's
everything
right.
came off.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
What a concept of a movie.
White Chicks or Mrs. Doubtfire?
Well, both of them, to be honest with you.
No, Mrs. Doubtfire is kind of crazy.
Great movie, though.
It was a great movie.
Great movie.
Robin Williams did a fantastic job, man.
R.I.P. Robin Williams.
Yes, indeed.
Went the way of Flipside. In any event. Man, I feel like we have... Okay. There's probably one more clip we should air. It's the Kyle Kuzma clip. He was asked about his podcast remarks.
The Zach LaVine clip.
Zach LaVine.
Did I say Kyle Kuzma?
Yeah. I was like, yo.
He did.
He would have traded for Kyle Kuzma. He's still trying to get, he is the latest general manager
who is trying to get Kyle Kuzma.
That's the whole press conference. Who would have missed that?
Might be the last general manager after what we've seen in the playoffs.
Man.
Damn.
Well, there'll be some Bucks. Well, never mind. We'll get to that in a minute. Yes, the Zach LaVine clip. Let me remind you, too, coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, we'll have the keyword you need for the Jump Shot Jackpot giveaway. Your chance to win a $500 gift card courtesy of Folsom Lake Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, home of the big guy Vince Bloom, is coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Again, your chance to win a $500 gift card coming your way at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Here is Scott Perry talking about his podcast clip, which he wanted us to make sure we knew he had a podcast. His podcast clip regarding Zach LaVine.
Absolutely. I've had a chance to speak with Zach. I knew Zach a little bit well before I took this job. You know, when he was a young player at UCLA, when he was coming out, I obviously scouted him and watched him a lot. Terrific talent, athletic, nearly a career 40% three-point shooter. And he and I, like I said, we had a good conversation. So my job now to help put pieces around him and others to enhance his ability to start winning. And that is what you're getting at with the comment that I made, because it was a reflection on him not having won as much. It's nothing personal with me. And the great thing, what I enjoy with my relationship with all players, and that's why so many of them reached out to me, because they know, okay, I might not always agree with him, but he's going to shoot me straight. And they know that I'm going to provide radical candor surrounded by radical.
So there's Scott Perry. I assume everyone is familiar with the clip. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think, you know, the clip was a little overblown.
The original, the podcast clip?
Yeah.
Very much so.
No question.
In my opinion.
Yeah,
very
I
much
thought
so
too. What he said was, I thought it was fair. I thought it was accurate. I didn't think it was disrespectful. I didn't think it was an indictment on Zach LaVine, the individual. It was an assessment of his career up until that point. I don't know. Like I understand why people like were looking at it like, oh man, I didn't. When I finally heard it, I was like, that's not that bad.
Here's the clip in question. This is from 2023, I believe. Give me 2 seconds. We'll get you the exact date. It is November 20th, 2023. Scott Perry.
No question that Zach LaVine can score the basketball. He has proven that his 9 years in the NBA. I know this is his 10th season. He's shot the ball well. He's a career 38% three-point shooter, explosive athlete. He has proven that he can score the basketball. Next thing that I look at, does he impact winning? Zach LaVine has been to one playoff series in 9 years. So he's played a total of four playoff basketball games. So now I say to myself, I'm looking at paying 40 this year, 43, 46, and 49 million in subsequent years for a guy who to this point has not impacted winning to the level that his money says he should impact. So there's not a real match there, in my opinion. Now, as I look at the teams, and you bring up a good point, Mo, when you start talking about him as a third option, which I think is the best fit.
Okay, we'll stop it right there. Actually, I think that's the end of the clip.
He also, like I said, I didn't think what he said was – I didn't think that much about what he said, like it being a bad thing, I guess. He also had a clip where, I think it was the same interview or whatever, where he talked about Zach LaVine joining the Kings. I don't know. It wasn't this past trade deadline. Maybe it was the one before.
Okay.
And he talked about, obviously, Fox and Sabonis are here. And I think, oh, I think he said something to that. Like, I could see that working. That might be a good fit for Zach. Like his, he mentioned how that would be good for the Kings. The only issue would be their depth would be gone to trade him. And like, if any one of those
acquiring Zach LaVine.
So if any one of those three guys go down, they don't have the depth to be able to deal with that. But he talked, I don't want to say glowingly, but just evaluated Zach like, no, I think that would be that's a good spot for him. That's a good spot for the Kings. Like I could see that working. So, but that doesn't, obviously those guys aren't around anymore and that clip doesn't circulate as much.
We need something more salacious. Need something more salacious. That's not salacious enough. I started this tweet. I think it was from Casey Tucker. Where's Casey Tucker at? Casey Tucker says, Zach LaVine has good games and bad games, but he rarely affects wins and losses. He's a very unique case study. That's kind of, you know, what Scott was talking about right there. Is he a winning player? I'm going to ask everyone a question. Does Domas affect wins and losses? I'm not trying to be a hot take guy. I'm not trying to be an ass. I'm genuinely asking in your observations of professional basketball, do you believe, if you could talk about Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, it's fine. I'm going to ask you, do you think that Domantas Sabonis affects wins and losses?
I'm going to answer that question, but I chuckled. Because
I had to glance at the clock because I thought you were going to say on the other side. I was like, no.
I'll let you know when we come back.
Yeah. That's 15 minutes early, Kenny. It's fine.
I chuckled because the very first time I saw that clip, I thought, to a certain degree, you could substitute Zach LaVine's name and put Domantas Sabonis' name in there.
Yeah.
And you'd have the same conversation.
Yeah.
And mind you, I'm a guy that likes Zach LaVine, so that means I like Domantas Sabonis. But when you're talking about what they've done in this league, I think Sabonis has been to two more playoffs because he had the one here out in Sacramento, obviously. And then I know he got to one other one in Indiana, and I can't remember if he got to another series or it was just a play-in game. But he's making that amount of money. He's put up the numbers and rebounded and, you know, assisted and all this other stuff to have those type of, you know, those that type of salary. And that's great. But he doesn't have this super deep playoff resume.
Mm-hmm.
And what Scott also said during this press conference about Zach LaVine can be applied to Domantas Sabonis. And it's not even I don't even think it's a knock. I think it's a measured way, an accurate way of looking at the players that you have or you may have on your roster. He talked about Zach LaVine. He said, yeah, I talked to him. You know, we talked about it. I talked about his scoring in that clip. Now my job is to put the right people around him that will elevate his game, that will magnify his scoring without having him, in no exact terms, without having him take on too much of, you know, trying to do everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But basically his thing was put the right pieces around him. And we always talk about that with Domas, and it's the right thing to say, I guess, because Domas doesn't shoot the ball, but we don't ever look at it as putting the right pieces around Zach LaVine because, what, he's just the scorer? So, like, it's just a negative. Like, we can't look at Zach LaVine as, hey, let's put the right players around him so he can be the scorer that he is and other people can defend or do whatever, or be the organizer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just you can't win with him as opposed to building around his talents.
I think it's an interesting discussion. I think maybe it's us locally, maybe it's Kings fans. I feel like we hold – I feel like Zach LaVine is being held to a different standard than other Kings players are who, as you just noted, you could say the same exact thing about. But the clip from 2 years ago or a year ago, whatever, isn't about Domantas Sabonis. It's about Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Zach LaVine is the first option here, the second option here, or the third option here. I know one thing that was kind of funny, though, was listening to Kyle and James following you know, when James got back from the press conference and they kind of wrapped up their show, we talk like DeMar DeRozan is gone.
Yeah.
Like, we do not talk like DeMar DeRozan has even the slightest chance to be a part of this team. We talk like he's already not here. As if Scott Perry took over the team and just didn't call DeMar DeRozan. Called everyone else, but didn't talk about him.
Right.
Like I heard, Domas, Keegan, LaVine, that's not going to be good enough. Okay, like, I get it. DeMar DeRozan is still a Sacramento King. Maybe it's just for now, but he is a Sacramento King. Maybe the approach of Scott Perry is different. Maybe DeMar's feelings, I don't know what DeMar's feelings are in Sacramento, but there certainly was a lot of talk of, I don't have much time left in this league. Maybe you do a little bit of everything. Are you open to being here? We can certainly explore things for you. Are there specific destinations? How do you want to work this? We want to do right by you. And I do believe that Scott Perry and the Sacramento Kings will do right by Domantas Sabonis, or excuse me, by DeMar DeRozan. And I don't know. I just think it's funny. We've moved on. We talk like he's not here.
I'm guilty of it, right? Because I'm thinking he's just gone.
Gone, yeah.
And it's funny you mentioned DeMar DeRozan, because I talked about Scott Perry and listening to him, and then it tweeted out like, hey, this is a guy that can communicate with people and can get them to believe to come to Sacramento or in a trade or whatever. And for a quick second, and I guess I just kind of dismissed it after I thought about it, but I was like, I wonder if he can convince DeMar DeRozan to stay, if he wanted him to stay. Like, if Scott Perry was like, no, I think DeMar works here and we can make it work. Can he convince DeMar DeRozan, Aaron Goodwin, his representation, that, hey, I'm here now. Don't worry about all that stuff that happened. That was crazy. I get you. But I'm here now. And I just thought about it and didn't even answer myself. Just kind of kept moving. But I wonder.
Do you think that's a tough sell?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I do.
I think so, too. I mean, I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan is not an idiot.
Well, yeah, I won't be fooled again.
Yeah, fool me, can't get fooled again. Yeah, that is 100% it. All right. Is there anything else on Scott Perry? Do we?
He said all the right things, but
it feels like it.
Just got to actually do the right things, though.
That's it. That's what it comes down to. Like,
and the first order of business is hiring the head coach.
Yes,
he's got to determine whether it's a week from now or 5 days from now or 10 days from now or whatever.
I think that's Doug, or he already knows who it is. If not, I think how you talk to guys make a decision in a week.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I think he, at the very least, I do not think he has more than two additional people. Doug, guy one that Scott likes for the job, guy two Scott likes for the job, I assume, maybe girl that Scott likes for the job. But I don't think it's I know he said my phone has been blown up. Scott, I believe you. But I think it's also been blown up with people you don't want to talk to.
Luke Walton.
Well, it's like, Scott, I'm sure knew he
was. Alvin, stop calling. You're here for a different reason.
Scott, I'm sure knew he was getting the job before it was announced he was getting it. So I'm sure Scott was talking to people, or at least getting ideas.
So that's absolutely my feeling. Is, how do you feel about coming back to Sacramento? Good. Am I in charge of hiring the coach? Yes. Okay. Hey, calling someone. I think I'm gonna take this Sacramento Kings job. Do you have any interest in joining me over here?
Yeah.
I want to talk about it. Not offering you the job, but I want to talk to you about it. Like, I absolutely think that's exactly how.
They can have those talks at that moment.
You could. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, those talks at that moment. And this is the NBA. This is sports. This is how things work.
Yeah.
There's probably deals going on or have been going on, or some of these NFL draft players have known where they're going for weeks now.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Free agency in the NBA. Free agent in the NBA is pretty much going on right now.
Facts. 100%. Absolutely. You know what I mean? So absolutely.
Those things happen. So it's not, it's definitely, I wouldn't even say it's not out of the realm of possibility. I would say it's probable that all that stuff went down.
Sure. Yeah, sure. And then, you know, we've got draft, we've got free agency, we've got potential trades, we've got stuff involving, you know, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, you know, what happens with Trey Lyles, what happens with Keon Ellis, what happens with Keegan Murray. It is a, man, shout out to Scott, because it is a long list of stuff he's taken over.
Yeah.
It is a long, long list of that honey-do list, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's a long list for our guy, Scott Perry.
Yeah, and he seems to be a guy that is energized and looking forward to it. He talked about he doesn't, what was the word he said? He doesn't run away from conflict. He runs towards it or something like that. There's a lot of that here.
Oh, there's, hey, man, you pick a direction.
See how you Scott, how much you're really about it.
Yeah. Pick a direction, buddy. There's going to be conflict everywhere.
I do believe, it's just a belief. There's no way you can prove this, though.
But
I do believe if he would have never left, the Kings would have been all right. The Kings would have made the playoffs before they did. They would have.
I'm with you. I thought pretty highly of him 8 years ago, too.
Yeah.
I don't. How much of Scott winning the day to day is just due to the guy that left yesterday?
It's got something to do with it.
I don't
like
think
Scott
so.
Scott is just like Scott's talking and saying all these things. The last guy
something to do with it.
Just said words for 20 minutes whenever he talked to us.
Sometimes he wouldn't though.
I think that's got something to do with him winning the day. Like this is something that we haven't seen in 5 years at least.
Sure.
You know, or, you know, dependent. Like, Scott Perry, we like Vladdy or whatever. Like, I like him, but he didn't speak like Scott Perry.
Yeah.
You know, so this is something we hadn't seen in this organization in decades, almost. Somebody that can speak with that level of charisma and that level of getting you to believe they've got things under control. And they know exactly what they need to do and what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Going along with the resume that he talks about. He talks about going to Detroit and winning there and going to different places. So I think Monty not being here plays a role in how maybe I feel or others feel about Scott Perry today. I think that, like, just the optics of it all. Like, doesn't mean Monty was wrong or awful or anything like that. But just the way this man speaks about this position and speaks to the public compared to how this other one does. Yeah, you weren't inspired ever listening to Monty. You were never inspired. Like, man, we're going about things the right way. It was either, okay, I guess, or that was awful.
Most of Monty's press conferences were, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever went, boy, Monty hit a home run there. Nailed it. It was more like, he did what we expected him to do, which was nothing.
Yeah.
Which is fine. In reality, Scott didn't do anything today.
No, it did not get to the bottom line of what needs to happen.
And no one is going to.
Right.
Rob Pelinka is not going to. Nico should never do another press conference. But in most cases, when general managers sit down to talk following a firing, there's one thing that they got to say. They're not even. It's not like they're. It's not like if you know we talk about the press conference that never was with Monty McNair following Mike's firing. Mm-hmm. It's not like Monty was going to sit down and go, "Man, he sucked." You know how many people in the locker room hated him? He's not going to say that. He's going to say exactly what he said to Mark Jones. Mm-hmm. We thank Mike for his contributions. He helped us in the playoff drought, and now we're moving forward with Doug Christie. That's exactly what he would have said, whether James Hamm and Sean Cunningham and Matt George are there or not. Mm-hmm. And maybe you press him a little bit harder on the questions, but you know what he's going to do when you press him harder on the questions? He's going to say the same exact thing. Or Monty will just flat out not answer you.
Right.
I know I'm paraphrasing. Man, Monty has dropped an occasional, "Man, I'm not telling you that." Not revealing our strategy. It's none of your goddamn business.
Yeah, no.
Or the old, that the famous yeah, no. The famous yeah, no.
Yeah, man. So, yeah.
That's Here's what we'll do. Because one thing is obvious. We will be the only show in America who never talks about the NFL draft. We need to talk about the games last night.
Yeah.
We need to talk about that the Bucks are getting punked by the Indiana Pacers.
Wow.
Like Tyrese is making them look foolish. Wow. And the Lakers get back on track. But admittedly, I didn't see that game going that way.
Mm.
Even though I'm pretty sure you and Jason predicted it on this show yesterday.
I think I picked the Timberwolves.
Oh, did you? Then yeah. Jason said it. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Timberwolves lost by 20.
Yeah.
I didn't think that would happen. It wound up happening. We'll try to make heads or tails of both of these series, and no one cares about what the Thunder are doing to the Grizzlies. No. Just end that series now. We'll come back. We've got much more to talk about. We're going to grab James Hamm, too. He's out there working in the common area. We'll get him in here to join us to talk about what happened today at the Golden One Center as well. It's Thielen with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I don't have no music in my ear, so I didn't know if we were back. That's all right. We good?
I was good. Just producer.
It's all good, man. We good. We'll talk a lot more about Scott Perry being introduced as the Sacramento Kings general manager when James Hamm joins us in a few minutes. Or perhaps we'll do it right now when Kenny says something.
Well, no, I just want to trust me because we got to get to some other stuff. So don't.
No.
Don't. This doesn't have to be a 30-minute thing. But what?
Man, what about Bump It or Dump It?
Well, it's ready. Whenever we do it, Bump It or Dump It's always ready.
All right.
But it's not. It's also not time sensitive. Like it can. It can flow.
Okay.
It can flow.
All right. Because it went great yesterday. It went so smooth yesterday.
The Rays one was hilarious.
I still don't know what the story was. This is a shoot. KC comes up with the stories. He does not tell me what they are. He just says the headline. And the second you said the Rays, I was like, not interested. I still don't know what the Rays story is.
We'll never get to it because they were giving away pieces.
Rays could be retiring Barry Bonds' jersey for all I know.
They were giving away pieces of the dome that ripped up, like pieces of cloth from the dome.
That was a great dump it then because I don't even know what that is.
I saw a lot of people at the beginning of the press conference, the Scott Barry press conference, talking about Vivek's not there, Vivek's a coward, all this other stuff. And this is what I alluded to the other day when we heard Vivek wasn't going to be there. It's whatever. Like, if I was Vivek, I would be front center. Like, I'm the owner. I've got to be there. Because I'm the owner of the organization. And Scott Perry, basketball ops-wise, there's not anyone that's going to be higher than him than me. So I need to introduce him. Or I need to be there. If it's a coach, that's hit or miss. Like, Scott Perry can do that.
Sure.
Because he's in a higher position. He hired, essentially, the coach. He went out and found him. So I don't necessarily have to be there. I probably still would be there if I was him. But the GM, I can understand people like, hey, you're the one hiring the guy to run basketball. You should be there. But I did check after we had heard, like, he wasn't going to be there. And he wasn't there for Monty either. And it's just a situation. We've talked about it a couple different times. Vivek is never going to talk to anybody here.
That's facts. Man. Yep.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
That's right.
A lot of people talking about like, oh, yeah, when the beam was going on, he was out there. No, he wasn't. Not here. He did like one. I told you that video piece he did when they were talking about the beam. That was for ESPN. That was national. He is never good or bad.
And it wasn't about basketball. It wasn't about the team. It was about,
the beam. The beam. And
you got nervous about saying the beam.
Well, I
saw
you.
No, I saw it. You see what you've done?
What I've done?
No, yeah. Did you see the man right there? He was scared to say the beam. Like, he literally paused. He was scared to say it.
I didn't know, man. I've racked up fines like Anthony Edwards, man so I don't know.
You sure have.
But he's just not going to talk here. After we broke down maybe the origins of it, after that happened, he said, for better or for worse, good or bad, I'm never speaking in this town again. Like, I'm just not doing it. I'm not here to say he's right for doing that or not. I'm just telling you, in good times, he doesn't talk either. So,
well, if he was there today, how much is that going to take away from Scott Perry?
Like, if it doesn't. Like, so what are we talking? We're talking about just him introducing and leading.
Introducing, yeah.
Just him. Yeah. If he's not taking questions, it doesn't take anything away from Scott Perry.
If we're assuming like he's just introducing him getting up, then that's fine. But like if he's sitting next to Scott Perry, people are gonna ask him questions.
Can't do that. Yeah, like if that's not what Vivek,
isn't that what all the owners would do though?
Maybe, but
a majority of them. Like, I don't know if Mickey.
You have put yourself in a situation if you're Vivek Ranadive, where if you do that, you've completely taken away from Scott being there. If Vivek feels like he needs to talk, you have to call the press conference by yourself. Mm-hmm. And it would have had to have taken place before you introduce Scott Perry. I mean, for the scenario to play out the way I think people would have been like okay with. If you want, but I just don't know why people like, oh, it's a bad look, he wasn't there. Okay, one, I'm very confident he was there. I could be wrong. I'm confident the man was there. So if he's standing in shot of Jake Gayden's camera, do you feel better? Or is this really about him saying, thank you so much for being here. Please welcome the new Sacramento Kings general manager, Scott Perry. You would have been mad at that too. Not you specifically. People would have been upset at that. What people want is Vivek to sit at the podium and go, hi, everyone, I'm Vivek Ranadive. I know most of you think I'm an idiot. Here's why I've done what I've done. And then lay out the reasons Mike's not here, De'Aaron's not here, Monty's not here, Wes is not here. And then go, oh, by the way, welcome our new general manager, Scott Perry. Mm-hmm. Nothing Vivek would have done today would have appeased Kings fans or media who already dislike him. He was not going to make anyone feel better by doing anything today. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't fault Vivek for not coming around. I really don't. You can say I'm stalling him out. You can do whatever you want. I do not fault him. There is nothing he can say to make anyone feel better. Mm-hmm. So I'll go a different direction. I'll stay completely out of the way. And I'm going to allow Scott to have his moment. Then when it's time, I'm going to have my general manager, Scott Perry, introduce our new head coach. And you know where I'm going to be then? In the same exact spot I was today. Hmm. Wherever that may have been, it's out of camera shot.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking right now. Looks like he did an interview 5 years ago with Lena Washington. And I don't think they got into any, like, they're
Vivek did?
Yeah. They're,
wow.
They're up here talking about, like, there, it has nothing to do with the Kings. And 5 years ago, this all kind of makes sense too, because I think they were going to India. So he's kind of promoting that.
Oh, God.
That's his whole thing.
Oh, man, that India trip, still paying for it.
But they talk about,
how come Monty didn't make it?
India. India trip. India. Yeah, that's right. They're talking about going to India. So talking about that, she asked him a question about Air Drake, about getting on that plane, and that's it. Like, I don't think you're going to get a Vivek Ranadive press conference or Q&A where he breaks down his decisions with the Sacramento Kings. Like, that's just not happening. And if you're hoping for that or waiting for that, you're probably going to wait a long time. And once again, I'm with you. I would have handled it. I personally would have handled it differently.
Yeah.
But like we said, there's a couple. All you guys do is talk crap about me anyway. Why am I going to sit down and talk to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say it's part of the job. As part of being part of it. Like, that's...
I don't know that it is.
I feel like it is. Especially
for being an owner of an NBA franchise, yeah, you think that's part of his job?
Yeah, because you're asking...
He's the one guy who doesn't actually have a job.
Yeah, but you're asking people to consume your product or consume your team, buy into what you're trying to do.
I guess...
I think that is part of his job.
Okay, I disagree, mm-hmm. but I feel like... and this is what it really boils down to, I think, with Vivek, why I don't care what he does, because he can't win either way. If he does a press conference or shows up today, bro, get out of the way, man.
This isn't about you.
God, such an attention whore.
Yeah.
And I don't. Or if he goes through the whole interview process, he's gonna slip somewhere, or not say something the right way somewhere.
Be all over.
And he's cooked. Yeah. Like I genuinely believe, and this is where I think we'll all just have to respectfully disagree together. I don't. There's nothing he could do that would make. If you hate Vivek, if you dislike Vivek Ranadive right now, and he spoke today, you're still going to dislike Vivek Ranadive. Mm-hmm. It's not going to help his PR. It's not going to help his street cred. It's not going to do anything. Your years of frustration with him aren't going to go away with a single press conference. And he's certainly not going to sit down. I don't know how the man feels about Mike Brown, but he's not going to sit down and trash Mike Brown. I don't know how he feels about Monty McNair. He's not going to trash him either. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what some people want. Oh, you got to be honest. Tell us Monty was bad at his job. Well, he's probably not going to do that. Like, he's got to maintain a certain level of respect for the position of general manager and other potential general managers. Mm-hmm. There aren't reports that Monty McNair and Mike Brown were fighting all season long. That hasn't been written about for 12 months like it was in Denver. Mm-hmm. In Denver, it was easy for their owner to come out, and he had to face the firing squad, too. Because he can't hire anyone.
Right.
They're in the middle of something. But he just came. Yeah, I think we just needed a spark. These guys were, it just wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And the New York Times did all the work for them. Hmm. Yeah. It's hard to look at those stories of Calvin Booth and Michael Malone and go, I just don't understand why they did what they did. You're literally making everybody there uncomfortable. That wasn't the case with Monty. It wasn't the case with Mike. Well, some guys, Mike, might have been making maybe not uncomfortable, but unhappy. But I don't think anything Vivek could have done today would have made anyone happy.
I agree. I agree with you on that. And that's why I do understand. Like, I understand him not talking. I can't. It's a no-win situation.
This Vivek's just clapping and raising Scott Perry's hand like he's a referee at WrestleMania.
But I understand.
Scott Perry.
I completely understand him not talking ever, because number one, the people who are going to be asking the questions, you guys trash me all the time. You guys trash me right all the time. So why am I going to give you content or whatever? Like, why am I going to give you this opportunity? Number two, like you laid out, you can get 10 questions, answer 9 of them perfectly.
Mm.
If you stumble on 10,
gone.
That's all anybody's going to talk
Cooked.
About.
Yep.
So I get it. I just do think, and maybe too much time has passed at this point. Like, mm-hmm. if he was somebody that routine, maybe if he was like Jerry, right? Maybe not that much, but if he was there, mm-hmm. and he, like, they're not, they don't necessarily, they don't ask Jerry about Jimmy Johnson no more, mm-hmm. because they've talked to him enough. Like,
well,
there's no need to talk
about Jimmy, and I just want him to, I just want him to take his rightful place in the, in the Ring of Honor.
Wait, no, what'd he say?
I just want him to take his rightful place. I
went to go get food and Jerry's sitting in the big boy chair. What's going on?
See that? How about that?
What the hell just happened?
No, it was a bad Jerry Jones
impression. No, but why? How did he get you happy enough to do a Jerry Jones? Like, we usually, I'll do a Jerry Jones impression.
I don't know. He kept referring to Jerry, so I was like, well, we're here. Have this alternate universe where
I'm letting that live. There ain't gonna be no other. I ain't saying nothing else today about Jerry, or you know, I'm not gonna have no Jerry.
I went to Morton's last night. Now I'm Kenny impersonating Jerry Jones.
That's all the Jerry we need today. I'm not saying you want to get me to stop doing impressions. You do the impressions, and then I'll stop.
That's all.
That was a good one.
That was an impression of Kenny impersonating Jerry Jones.
That was a good one.